What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. My name is Adam. I am your host. So we are bringing on a very special guest, DK Cards. He was previously on the podcast in May, where we talked about some of the new prospects that were coming out of the new Bowman baseball that was released back in those crazy months back when May was going on. And he's back on now to talk about some baseball, talk about some Bowman. So DK or Daniel, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a little bit since I was back on here, but I mean, it's been a crazy couple of months for the sports card community.
Totally. And you actually, I think you're the first guest that I've had on for a second time. So congratulations on that, I guess.
Thank you so much.
Cool. So with originally you came on, you talked about Bowman baseball, the new Bowman Chrome is out. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on the product. Have you been opening it? Have you been buying? Like, how has that been going for you?
Personally, for me, I haven't bought any. I really like the checklist that Bowman had back in May, because you had Dominguez, you had Bobby Witt, you had a lot of good guys. For Bowman Chrome, I feel like it hasn't been the same since around maybe 2018. I remember back in 2016, we had that huge checklist. You had Fernando Tatis Jr., Soto, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That was a huge checklist. But now I feel like they've gotten a little bit lackluster. So unless I see like a really big sale on it where it's like a really good deal, I probably won't be picking any up. But I mean, it's not terrible. I kind of think it's really similar to last year's Bowman Chrome release, where you got a few good names, but it's like nothing like huge. The names that really pop out to me are obviously going to be your rookie names. Like, you got Luis Roberts autograph in there. You've got Kyle Lewis, of course. You're going to have the big rookies. But as far as like first Bowman is concerned, I talked about Byron Lora for when Bowman came out. So his autograph is in here. So he's probably one of the bigger names people are looking out for. Acuna's brother is also in here. He's also with the Texas Rangers. So that's another big name. And I'd say besides that, the only other like two, I know that there's this one guy with the Royals, Eric Pena, who people have said he's all right. And then there's the catcher with the Mets, Francisco Alvarez, who's a top 100 prospect. But other than that, I mean, it's I don't know. I feel like Bowman Chrome has gotten a little bit worse than what it was previously.
So from your experience, I mean, looking at your Instagram, you're mainly focused on baseball. It looks like you've got a lot. You've got a good combination of first Bowmans. You've got a nice little – you got a couple first tops in there. So from your experience, would you say that you're going to see – like, because you were just saying, you were just saying essentially how the product isn't as good as it typically is in the past, or at least the Bowman brand. Mm-hmm. So would you say that – you're going to see probably the regular Bowman baseball be better than Bowman Chrome? Because then we also have Bowman Draft that's coming out.
Yeah.
I think it's probably December, which is going to have the newer players in there. So from your experience or from your buying, have you noticed that out of the three, so there's a Bowman baseball, Bowman Chrome, and then Bowman Draft. Have you kind of seen one of these products be better than the rest, like stand out really?
Oh, personally, I got to say, I love Draft so much. I mean, you could get so many good stuff out of there. I think for me, what I usually do is I either get I get at least maybe two or three super jumbos, but they've definitely gone up in price this past year, so I might have to only stick to maybe one or two. But, yeah, I love Draft so much. I mean, out of every super jumbo box, I think I've gotten at least one or two first-round draft picks. I think last year, I did really good. I bought three super jumbos from 2019 draft, and I was able to get an Adley Rutschman autograph, which I sent out to BGS in July, so I got to wait a little bit for that to go through the grading process and whatnot. I pulled an Adley. I pulled a Hunter Bishop. I pulled a Corbin Carroll. So I got a lot of really good stuff out of draft. And the thing I kind of prefer about draft, too, is that you have the option of – you don't have to just get the jumbo, because I noticed that with Bowman Chrome and with Bowman, you can really only get – like it goes all the way up to jumbo and that's it. So that's the three autographs. But for drafts, you can get the super jumbos. You get five autographs. So that's one thing I really love about draft. I'd have to say for me it goes draft and then Bowman, because I've been noticing with Bowman it's been, of course, you're going to have your number two pick in there. That's how it is. I'm not sure how long they've been doing that, but I think they've been doing that since 2017, I believe.
Yeah, the past few years, that's how they've structured it, where draft has the first and third pick, and then next year, the release in April has the second overall pick in the draft. Mm-hmm.
I think another big thing I've been noticing with Bowman is that they've been having the every year the number one international guy. We saw with 17, it was Acuna. With 18, it was Robert. With 19, it was Wander Franco. And now 2020, it's Jason Dominguez. So that's kind of another reason why I think Bowman is pretty good overall. But I'd have to say recently Bowman Chrome has kind of like fallen off a little bit, if I'm being honest, because I don't know. I just there were so many good names, like, you know, back in 2017, 18, 16. It's like, you know, unless like somebody like breaks out, is I can't really find too many good names, honestly.
Yeah, that makes sense. So one of my, I don't know, I mean, from doing the hobby research that I like doing, one of the sets that I have actually, that I actually like a lot for baseball has been the Bowman Chrome rookie cards. So, for example, the 2017, because Bowman Chrome, this release that we're talking about, is going to have those rookies in there, because sometimes they include them in Bowman baseball, but typically they hold out a lot of the rookies for the Bowman Chrome release. So is that something that you view as a set that has some legs, or do you think that it's not real with the amount of other sets there are, it's kind of just one that falls by the wayside and kind of fits in with the crowd with the rest of the sets?
Well, for when it comes to Bowman Chrome rookies, I think it's a good investment if you're like kind of want to. So I kind of like put it in the tiers. I put like, if you want to get the first Bowman autograph, that's obviously going to be high up there. And then I think after that, I would say it's between the first Bowman Chrome or the Topps flagship rookie. But I would say it's a pretty decent investment. I mean, we've seen some of these Mike Trout Bowman Chrome rookies go for, like, I've seen BGS 9.5 sell for around $1,000, $1,200, when you could have bought them, like, I think even last year for like around $500, $600. So I think they are decent investments as long as you're like just willing to wait it out and see who's going to be a star. I mean, of course, not everybody's going to be Mike Trout, but I mean, I like it. I mean, it's not bad. I think that's probably one aspect of buying Bowman Chrome, but yeah, I mean, if you want to buy maybe a few Luis Robert rookie cards from Bowman Chrome, I think that's an all right investment if that's what you want to go with. I don't think it's bad at all.
So with baseball, it at least this is from my perspective, and you probably have a different perspective here, but the Bowman Chrome autograph is kind of considered like one of the more important cards throughout a career for anybody that's kind of going throughout their career. But I'm wondering why after that, the autographs don't hold as much weight. Like, I know the Bowman Chrome, or excuse me, Topps Chrome autographs, I think are pretty important. I think the Topps Chrome and the Bowman Chrome autographs should be kind of a little bit closer, but typically, like with baseball, why do you think that the autograph itself doesn't, maybe incorrect here, and maybe I may be not saying this correctly, but why do you think that the Bowman Chrome autograph is kind of the peak, and then after that there isn't as much of an autograph, people don't want the autograph after that? Is that correct, or am I kind of off base there on that theory?
You're sort of right. I would say the autograph still holds some value, but of course the first Bowman autograph is obviously going to be worth the most. And I think that's just like, it's just because like that's their first card that's like coming out for baseball. Like, that's kind of their true rookie, in my opinion. That's like the first card they're getting. So I mean, that's why you see like the like a differentiate between, like, let's say the 2009 Mike Trout draft autograph. You know, you see how much that is compared to, like, you know, just a regular Mike Trout autograph. I think, you know, it just goes down to that. It's like, you know, once that's their exact first card that's coming out. So that's going to be automatically probably the most valuable just because of that. That's why I love Bowman so much.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think it's interesting, definitely, to see, And I wonder if it maybe almost is like a culture with autographs from cards, mm-hmm. like going to baseball games, it almost feels like getting like, or going to like spring training or something. It almost feels like there's like a culture that's like around baseball in a way with autographs. So, I mean, maybe that's why that first card is going to be super important. So, mm-hmm. From your perspective, like the autograph, obviously, like we were just talking about, is very important. But like, if you were to be choosing the first Bowman Chrome base autograph versus maybe like a low numbered parallel, like where do you sit in that kind of conversation?
Ooh, that's tough. Well, I don't know. That's kind of tough. But if it's like a low numbered parallel for like a first Bowman Chrome, I'd have to say, and if you're comparing it to the base autograph, honestly, in my opinion, I kind of would lean towards the parallel, just because like the scarcity of that. Because, I mean, I obviously we've seen like for example the Bobby Witt one of one base. I don't think not the autograph, yeah, just the base card. I think that sold for a decent amount, and it obviously sold more than the base. So that's why I kind of would lean more towards the parallel, just because of the scarcity.
Yeah, and I think we've definitely seen, I mean, I think that's probably one of the things that the hobby doesn't really love seeing an increase of, like, because, I mean, with basketball, it's gotten out of control. There's, like, there's four different one-of-ones in Prism. There's, like, the Shimmer, there's the Waves, there's the regular base. So the parallels have definitely gotten kind of crazy. Like, from your perspective, is that something that has happened in baseball at all? Because, I mean, I don't have as much knowledge because I'm not doing as much research as I do with basketball, but like, is there an issue with that type of kind of scarcity would be the word, but it would be kind of the increase in different types of parallels, and are, because most of them in Bowman are also numbered, right? All the parallels all the parallels are numbered. So maybe that's how they're keeping it down. But is that something that you've seen happen in baseball versus maybe where it was in the past?
Honestly, when I'm comparing it to basketball, I think it's like, it's really weird because I noticed that like the autographs in basketball tend to not like, not be the same amount as money as like some of the parallels. I think that the main difference is got to be the picture. Cause if you notice with the Zion Williamson out of 2019 Prism, it's not the same picture as his true rookie. So I think that's one aspect that a lot of people care about. So, but I haven't really seen that too much with baseball. I kind of think it's around what it should be with baseball, where, you know, just because it's like a base autograph doesn't mean that it's going to be more than like the parallel, like just the regular base card, because obviously the scarcity. So I think for baseball, it's just about right. But as far as if I'm comparing it with basketball, I think basketball is a lot worse when it comes to that, because you would think the autograph would be a lot more. But it's probably because like it's not the same picture as like the rookie. That's probably what I think.
Yeah, maybe, because like you were saying, within Prism, the rookie autograph that's like whatever it would be like the base one, like it's a totally different card. Like you were saying with Bowman, it's going mm-hmm. to be the same card. It just has the autograph versus not having the autograph, whether for the base Bowman Chrome. But like we were saying with basketball, it's a totally different card, and I do wonder. You know, I wonder if that would be one thing that maybe Panini would be interested in doing, because, not that Panini really needs any help selling their product because it's sold out everywhere, but like those autographs, like it is a very interesting contrast between basketball autographs, and it may even just be because of like National Treasures is like super like high end, and maybe that's one of their best products. So maybe they're saving the autographs for that, where like in baseball, there isn't really a like National Treasures, like Transcendent is pretty big, but I wouldn't say there's not really a like National Treasures of baseball, or is there? I mean, maybe that's kind of, maybe I'd be interested to hear your perspective about that.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've really seen any, anything like National Treasures, but I think another aspect into it too, is that I noticed that Panini does a lot of sticker autographs. Mm. For when it comes to like to Bowman and Bowman Chrome, you really never really see that. It's always on card. So I think that's another aspect that plays into it. I think it would be really, really interesting to see Panini kind of implement Topps' technique where they could have on-card autographs and it's like the rookie picture. I think that would be really big for Panini. But personally, I mean, I don't know. We would just have to see. That'd be crazy, though. I think what will be really interesting to look at is to see how, out of Prism, how much a one-of-one Zion autograph would be compared to just the base rookie one-of-one. I think that would be really interesting to compare.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I agree with that. And I think also the main difference is that you're getting with Prism versus the first Bowman autograph. Obviously, the first Bowman autograph is going to be basically their pre-rookie card. Like, it's their most important card before the rookie year, where the autograph or the card that's in Prism is going to be a card that they have that's them in their pro uniform / they're in the league at that point. So, I mean, mm-hmm. and maybe that's kind of a scenario where people are maybe potentially more interested in, and I guess there's no, for basketball versus baseball, because of the way the sports are structured, there's no way you could really do this, because when it's not like when a player gets drafted in baseball, it takes them 2 to 4 years to get to the majors, where basketball, it's like you get drafted, you're playing, some people are starters. You look at like a Tyler Herro who came off the bench, started in some games, but you see rookies take pretty important roles. And I mean, maybe that has something to do with it, but I think it's mm-hmm. interesting that I think that these card companies almost should – they shouldn't work together, but they should kind of see what's working. And it almost seems like sometimes they do the complete opposite, which I also think for each of the companies ends up working most of the time. But mm-hmm. I do think it's interesting that we don't really see as many parallels between what Topps does with baseball and then what Panini does with football and basketball, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah. So for the – did you see what happened when the Bowman first edition cards came out?
Yeah. I mean, right now they're kind of around the price where I thought they would be. That's why I kind of mentioned that they would be just mostly long-term investments, but I'm really hoping they don't do this like a yearly thing where they do this every year with Bowman.
So at least from what I saw, there were some issues with the autographs. Like the autographs were smudged, and I guess it wasn't really a conspiracy, but it was more just a theory that, like, I guess because there were so many autographs that were smudged for whatever reason, they actually just, that's why they did the Bowman first edition, was because they just put the other autographs. So, and there's almost no way to be able to tell how many autographs or how many base autographs or color autographs are in each, because they have the odds and stuff like that, but in the end of the day, like, we're not gonna see, like, I think that I'm pretty sure they had greens in the first edition that actually were Bowman chrome greens, so, and then they added the stamp. So I mean, like you were saying, is the Bowman first edition, like, did you like that concept, or was it something that you thought kind of just muddied the water a little bit? Because that's what I thought it actually added another layer that didn't need to be added, that actually made things a little bit more confusing. Like, what did you think about that product when it came out?
I mean, I kind of liked it for the time being, because obviously we were supposed to get Bowman during that time. I was looking forward to it, but they kept on delaying it, so we really weren't getting anything at that time. So, I mean, I guess it was kind of smart to kind of just keep us collectors satisfied for the time being. But I don't know. I think this is the only year they should do it, personally. If they do it next year, then I think it's just going to get oversaturated at that point. I probably won't be getting any then. But, right. I mean, it was interesting for the time being, but, I mean – I think that's really interesting that they put in a lot of autographs that were smeared and whatnot. But I mean, I guess it makes sense, you know. It is what it is.
I saw
with Bowman in general, like, even like for the regular release, there was still a lot of smeared stuff, which is kind of disappointing for whoever pulled those cards. But I mean, I don't know. I'm fine with it this year, but I hope they don't do it next year.
So since I'm looking at your page and it's all Bowman autographs left and right. So mm-hmm. you're kind of more of an autograph type of guy. So What are your thoughts on, so I don't know if you've seen this, but so Marcus Stroman, he posts a lot of pictures of him signing the cards, but mm-hmm. he kind of like sets the cards up. Like he actually just had a more recent one where he was taking pictures of the next year's Heritage. He was signing next year's Heritage and people were like zooming in and looking at the cards. So, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, for these athletes, like obviously this is, it's something that's adding to the millions of dollars they already have. And I mean, for some players, obviously it's not millions of dollars, but like, do you have an issue with like players kind of like with the way that Stroman does it? He takes pictures because he kind of like spreads the cards out like on a table and almost makes it look like sort of like, so they're like layered on top of each other. They're not like stacked. They're not stacked neatly. And I mean, there was obviously that video of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just throwing the cards across the table and everybody was losing their minds. Which if I'm going to be completely honest, I think the thing with Marcus Stroman, because the one picture that came out a couple weeks ago was he was taking a picture of his archives autographs and like people were getting angry. I'm like, okay, so who's getting these cards and then being like, damn, I gotta get this graded. I gotta get this card graded. Like who, like that doesn't make any sense to me. So like from your perspective, obviously you're an autograph guy. Like where do you sit when it comes to athletes maybe not taking the best care of some of these cards? Like, do you think it's as big of a deal as people are making it? Or do you think it's kind of just like, well, whatever happens, happens?
I think for now, you know, I'm okay with it as long as he's not doing what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was doing and throwing it. Right. But I mean, I think like if it continues and it leads to like cards getting damaged like that, like corners getting like dinged or whatever, I think Topps is going to have to start talking with them, be like, look, these things have value. They probably need that. They should probably show like, you know, maybe that Mike Trout one of one and show them how much they went for and kind of describe the grading process with them. I think that would be a lot better because I mean, for me, I mean, I love to grade my stuff, especially, you know, when I get an autograph. So if I were to see that in one of the players damaging the cards, I would not be happy either. So,
right, totally.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the way Marcus Stroman did it, I mean, it's okay as long as we didn't see any damage on the cards or anything like that. But, you know, you got to be careful with it because, I mean, the value of cards keeps going up every single day. And it's like, you know, they got to just be cautious with it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I totally agree with that. I think with Stroman, I do think there's also – you know, I feel like it's also kind of like a thing where he must know what he's doing. At least mm-hmm. I feel this way. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe he, you know, he's one of these players that has millions of dollars. So maybe he doesn't necessarily care. He's just signing these cards. And he thinks it's cool. So like, it's giving Topps publicity. So like from Topps' perspective, I'm sure they're probably, you know, if this was like a Jason Dominguez or if this was like Bobby Witt and they're taking pictures of like these first Bowman cards and they're scratching all over the table, I'm sure they would be like, hey, can you not do that? But mm-hmm. with Stroman, you know, it really feels like it's almost different for different players, maybe at what level they're at or versus what player it is. So
yeah.
I'm looking at your page right now and it looks like you basically are strictly a BGS guy over PSA. So is there any real specific reason? I know there's like a huge debate versus PSA versus BGS. Is it because of the autograph and that's why you're going with BGS, or do you have like more specific reasons of why you go BGS over PSA?
I've always just been a BGS guy. I mean, me and my uncle, he kind of brought me into the hobby and he, grades with BGS. So I was like, well, I mean, I might as well do it too. I acknowledge the fact that the PSA 10s obviously go for, more than the BGS 9.5s. But I think another thing with BGS is that I've always, you know, liked the opportunity to try and get a black label. Even though I've only gotten one with my Shohei Ohtani X-Factor rookie.
That's a nice card.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, for me, I kind of like the design of BGS a little bit better. I love that gold that's on top, and for the black labels, I think it looks sharp as well. I think with the autographs, that's also plays into it a little bit. Even though I saw that PSA has been doing autographs recently too. But I don't know. I've always been a BGS guy. But personally, when it comes to grading vintage cards, I'd have to go with PSA. I think vintage cards look a lot better in the PSA holder.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, personally, I'm more of a PSA guy just because, mm-hmm. obviously, I'm not buying really as much as I used to or buying at recently, I haven't really been buying at all. And there's just, for me, it's a lot of just researching the market. So, like, there's more, I found that there's just more data on PSA 10s versus, because then when you get into the BGS 9.5 versus
yeah,
BGS
there's
10
9,
versus
5,
the black
yeah.
label, it can get kind of confusing from that perspective. But I also just think that, like, you know, with BGS, I do think, like, have you, or at least from your perspective, do you think that BGS grades, and I obviously you wouldn't know this, but I'm just kind of asking, like, as a hypothetical, do you think BGS grades harder than PSA, or do you think that or do you think that there's not really much of a difference, and it's just that with BGS there's like three grades essentially that are like in the highest tier, where PSA it's basically just PSA 10 and that's it?
Yeah, personally, if I have to compare them, I would say a 9.5 True Gem or a True Gem Plus, which is the subgrades are everything 9.5 or one of them's a 10. I would say that matches up pretty good to a PSA 10. But the thing about BGS is that, you know, they kind of give you a little bit, because you could get three 9.5s and one 9. You could still walk away with a 9.5. So I think that's kind of why I like them a little bit more too, is that they kind of give you a little bit more room to, you know, like let's say your card's just a little bit off center, you can't really control that. They give you a little bit more room to get a better grade on that. But for me, most of the time, I'd say maybe 60 or 70% of the time that I get cards graded, which I mostly just get cards graded that I pull out of packs, of course. I'd say most of the time I've gotten 9.5s or better. But I've been having a good experience with BGS. There's only been a few times where I've been like, yeah, I should probably, you know, crack open this and maybe get it resubmitted. I think the worst experience I had was with I have the Jeter rookie, the true one with the silver background that I want to say it's the 92 Jeter. But I had that, which is obviously, when it comes to Jeter cards, probably is true rookie.
Is it the SP foil card?
Yeah. That's the one I had. I had that one. I was sending it in one time, and then I noticed that when they sent it back to me, it said that it was trimmed. But I kind of looked deeper into it, and I've been noticing that for both PSA and BGS, they've been sending the same Jeter card back as trimmed. And a lot of other people have the same experience. So I think that's a little bit weird. I don't know.
Interesting.
I think with these card companies, maybe they're a little bit more afraid to kind of grade these really high value cards. Because I've also noticed with the Mike Trout rookie from 2009 Bowman, BGS actually has to have the autograph authenticated instead of just in the regular slab. So I think that's interesting too.
So, something that I found that's kind of interesting about Bowman and just baseball in general is that it always seems like the next guy is going to be the hot card to buy. It's going to be more expensive sometimes than you'll see with some of established guys. And I think there was a pretty good example recently. Actually, maybe not. It was like probably like 4 or 5 months ago. Right, two cards right in a row. There was a red Christian Yelich that sold on eBay, yeah. And then there was a red Wander Franco, and they were both autos, and they both sold on eBay. And the Franco sold for like double what the Yelich was. So, from your perspective, why do you think that is? Because for me, it just seems like the Yelich card makes way more sense than the Franco. Because for a multitude of different reasons, but like, why do you think that happens with just the hobby in general? Because it happens in basketball too. Like Tyler Herro is the same price as Ray Allen, so I mean it's for his Prism versus the Ray Allen tops. And I think that's just, I'm not sure why that happens, but from your perspective, since you are kind of big into first Bowmans and stuff like that, why do you think that is kind of a theme in the hobby?
Well, I mean, I think it just comes down to that people just kind of buy into the hype. I mean, the Yelich probably should have been more. I actually did see that. I think the Franco was a better grade than the Yelich, but I still think the Yelich should have been more. I think just it's just that a lot of people like to buy in the hype. I mean, personally, I mean, I think it could get a little bit crazy because when I start seeing like Wander Franco like sell more than a Nolan Arenado or a Francisco Lindor or rookie autograph, I think that's a little bit ridiculous. But I think just people kind of just buy into the hype. Like when you're the number one prospect in all of baseball, people just, you know, get all over that and whatnot. So I think it's sort of like with basketball, like with Zion, everyone was jumping on the Zion train, and it's kind of similar with baseball where everyone's jumping on the Wander Franco train because they're the next up and coming thing.
Yeah. That's my theory as well. And I, as somebody who I guess isn't really in any one market, like I'm not just in basketball, I'm not just in baseball, I'm not just in soccer. Like it does seem like that typically happens pretty frequently. So yeah. And you actually had mentioned what was going to be my next question was the Yelich, I think was a nine, a BGS nine. And
yeah, I saw that.
And then the Franco, I think was a BGS 9.5. So there was a difference in the grade. And yeah. That was actually going to be getting into my next question here was, do you think that getting cards like a number to five Bowman autograph or the Mike Trout Superfractor, for example, is also just a BGS 9. So do you think that these like low number autographs or like the one of ones, do you think those are worth grading, or do you think that you should keep them not graded, or do you think getting them graded keeps them protected? Like I'm kind of interested from your perspective, because obviously, you know, that's kind of what your avenue is these autographs and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Personally, if it's a one of one, I would probably just make sure to get it graded. Like, I mean, no matter what grade it is, like that doesn't hurt the value. Like, sure, maybe to some people, I mean, it looks bad, but come on, that's a one of one. That's the only like one of one there is out there. So personally, I mean, I don't think it hurts the value. I would probably get it graded anyways. I mean, you know, just to keep it safe and whatnot. You know, especially if you wanna sell it. You know,
right. Get it into a slab. I agree with that. I mean, I think the grading shouldn't necessarily matter. I think sometimes it does, but I think, I mean, if you're, and this is obviously we know the Mike Trout sold for $3.9 million. So,
yeah.
And that's it. And that's a nine. Clearly yeah. No one was like, well, that nine hurt the price of the card. Like, I think, you know, eventually one day that's gotta be like, it's going to probably always be the most expensive card until we see like a Mantle PSA 10, because there's three of those and those are somewhere in the world. And we know that there's three of them. There's,
yeah.
I think there's an eight that's going on sale through Golden Auctions, I think coming up. And I know because the nine was the one that was actually that, I think that one was 2.8 million back mm-hmm. in 2016, I believe. So, I mean, we'll see what this eight sells for. And like, so
yeah.
From your perspective, like, do you think that, like, what do you think the 10 would sell for? Do you think never in our lifetime we'll see one of these 10s sell?
I think eventually. I mean, I don't know who has it, but I mean, whoever does, I mean, if they, I'm guessing whoever has it probably has a lot of money. If I'm gonna make a quick guess out there, but I mean, whether they if they need the money, then they're gonna sell it. But personally, I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of tough, but I think it'll take a while for it to appear on the marketplace. I know with Vegas Dave, I know that he makes most of his money through sports betting and whatnot. And so I figured that Vegas get Dave, since there weren't any sports going on for a short time, that he figured, you know, he'd sell the Mike Trout to make some money that way, which turned out to be a great investment for him. But I think it'll probably take a while until we see the Mantle, but I mean, whoever has it, if they need money, they'll probably list it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's exactly, I think I don't remember if I said that on a podcast or if it's on one that's coming up. Cause I know, cause with no sports on, obviously mm-hmm. his business probably wasn't doing very well. Cause if there was no picks to give out, obviously that's an issue for him if his whole business is gambling on sports. So
I mean also because
I've heard interviews of him talking. I think he did one with like Steel City Collectibles like back in May of 2018 when he bought the card, and mm-hmm. I remember him saying that he immediately had already gotten offers of a million to 1.5 million. He said no. So I am a little bit surprised that he sold it, considering that, like, I think that's like a $10 million card once.
Yeah, in the future.
I do also think that Trout has to – he probably has to win a World Series at some point. He probably has to win a playoff game at some point. Like,
well, hopefully Trevor Bauer signs with them.
Phenomenal point. I think if I understand that, you know, I think there's been stories that have come out that Trout doesn't really like to be in the spotlight and doesn't like to be in the media and stuff like that. But it's like, dude, you are like, you're the LeBron James of baseball right now. Like, just can you just do a couple interviews? Like, just do something. Cause like, if Trout were to start doing it, I think that would then help other players who maybe were on the fence about wanting to do it. And obviously someone like Trevor Bauer just jumped headfirst into that content media type of space. So if he goes there, I would say that could only help Trout. And then also just the fact that, like, it seems like the Angels should be like one of the most popular teams in the league, because they've got Trout, they've got Ohtani, who is like, and I think Ohtani doesn't get enough publicity either. And I think eventually he probably picks either pitching or hitting. Like, I don't think his whole career he's going to do both, because I just don't think it's feasible at this point. And because it's not like Babe Ruth did it, but like, he was also playing against like plumbers. So like, it's not like Shohei Ohtani is playing against people who have been playing since they were like an infant. But Babe Ruth was, like I said, he was playing against the plumber, the shoemaker down the street or whatever. So, yeah. And I mean, I think well, hopefully if somebody goes there or somebody can get in Trout's ear and be like, hey dude, if you just do this, it's going to help everybody. Like, and I think that's what somebody should try to, and Trevor Bauer would be perfect for that.
Yeah. Bauer would be perfect. I love, cause I've seen his YouTube channel. I love when he has the interviews when the players, they're just having dinner. I love that. I think that would be perfect if Bauer signed there and did that with Trout. I mean, it would be up to the Angels head office to see if they would want to sign Bauer. But I'd love for Bauer to go on the Angels. They also have Rendon. They've got Joe Adell, who I have.
All of these players that I feel like should be much more popular as well. I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, definitely. I would love for Mike Trout to get a lot more publicity. But I think the player that's really, really helping out with that is probably Fernando Tatis Jr. I've been loving Fernando Tatis Jr. this year. Every single game, it's like he does something big. And I think that's just what baseball needs right now. I mean, they really need to reach out to the younger audience. So I'm happy to see players like Fernando Tatis really show their personalities. So I'm hoping if Trevor Bauer goes to the Angels, maybe Trout to show off a little bit more of his personality and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, of course, I've been investing in Tatis Jr. for a little bit now, so me personally in general, I'm happy to see that he's doing great. But I'm really hoping that, you know, baseball starts getting up there in popularity with the NBA, but that's going to take a little bit.
Yeah, I totally agree. So again, I want to thank DK Cards Daniel for coming on the podcast again. DK, tell everybody, I don't know if people call you DK or not, but tell everybody where they can find you on social media, or tell everybody stuff that you got going on as well.
Yeah. Okay. So, you can mainly, find me on Instagram. That's where I'm mostly active. I also do have a TikTok, but I haven't been as active on there. I probably got to get back on that, but yeah, you could just, you could follow me on Instagram, just DK Cards. You could leave me any DMs if you have any questions about, sports cards in general. I'll be able to answer that for you. But I mean, right now I don't really got anything going on. You know, I've just been doing my normal stuff, you know, just buying packs and whatnot, although I haven't been as crazy as some of these guys that buy up the whole store. You know, I leave some for others, you know, if it's available. But I've just been kind of opening up packs and, you know, buying some cards up. But I mean, other than that, you know, I've always been, you know, the same DK. I've always been just doing what I love, and that's about it.
Awesome. That's great to hear. So DK, thank you for coming on. I'm sure you'll probably come on the podcast. Maybe when draft comes out,
I'll hopefully have
you on. So it's been really great talking to you. I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.